Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, and I'm here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today we're going to pick up right where we left off from our last episode. We were talking about a couple fourplexes that Jeff made some offers on. The title of these episodes is Dissecting the Deal, right?
That's right.
And really what Jeff is teaching us here is how he makes offers. So, you know, from start to finish. And in the first episode, just to recap, we went into how he found the property. It was a couple fourplexes in Idaho. There was some other comps up there in Idaho from some other fourplexes that he was looking at a while back. And the guy wanted $330 for the property cash, right? $330 for each duplex or fourplex cash.
Yep.
And so what we started to get into on our last episode is how we can offer him more. Jeff is going to be wholesaling this deal.
Yep.
And so he was thinking of how can I get my wholesale fee, still make it a deal for our end buyer, and still be able to make this work for the seller on seller financing or creative financing, right?
Right.
So let's recap what you have there, Jeff, if you want to go over that real quick.
And yeah.
And then we were going to go into the offers you made.
Okay. So really what we did is we did a little research. We saw what, if you remember, these units were renting for either 6.25 or 6.75 per four units, each unit.
Right. And we were thinking the rents could be 850, 900.
Correct. So we took 850. We came up with a $3,400 a month cash flow. We then deducted all of the expenses that would be deducted from that, which would be taxes, insurance, and garbage. Water, sewer, garbage, which is pretty typical of what a landlord will end up paying.
Right.
We did not include any property management. We were left with $2,750 a month cash flow, out of which we've got to figure out how much are we going to give to the seller as an offer.
And how much,
Are we going to give to our end buyer or ourselves as a cash flow?
Right.
Okay. So that's kind of where, and then we kind of played around with some numbers as far as purchase price and down payment. Down payment is kind of, for us, it's kind of the most crucial part in
right.
terms of being able to wholesale this type of property. And it would also be very crucial if we were looking to hold it, because, you know, obviously we would want to have a certain budget that we'd want to pay on particular properties like this.
Absolutely. And so we kind of determined that a great down payment for our end buyer would be about $55,000, kind of basing that off of, you know, 20% down on this and having it being a better number than that. So with that $55,000 of what we think would be a great down payment for our end buyer, we would wipe. You would want $25,000 of that, so that would leave us, you know, $30,000 that we could give to the seller. Right?
Correct. That's right.
Okay. So take it from there.
All right. So why don't we just go through some different offers that we made, and then and keep in mind, there's no right or wrong way to do. There actually is a wrong way to do it, but. Just because you don't agree with my offers doesn't mean that that's right or wrong.
Right.
This is just what I came up with. So you can come up with, like I said on the last episode, we could literally offer this person $500,000, $600,000 if he wants to have long enough terms that make sense for us. So the purchase price isn't as important. But we also want to catch his attention. We want to make it worthwhile. Actually, I don't care which offer he chooses. They all would make us money. Everyone. Some may make us more money than others. But really what we want is for him to choose one.
Yeah, yeah. And if you don't, you know, if the audience doesn't like your offers, then guess what? That's why it's called creative financing. So be creative.
Correct.
Make some creative offers.
Yep.
And that's what you do.
Yep. So I'm going to start with our lowest offer first, and we'll work our way up. As we work our way up, they become a little more in-depth.
Yeah, okay? Tell us why you structure it that way. Because I know that you do this. When you send your offers, as the seller is reading down the lines, the offers just increase as they go from option one to option four, right?
So option one is always the highest price. Option two is typically a little less. Option three may actually be close to the top price. It just depends which offer I make them. Option four, if there is a fourth one, is cash. It's always the lowest.
I misunderstood you then. Yeah. I thought that you always have like option one being the lowest and then the numbers get higher.
We structure it so the first one's always the highest and we work down to the lowest.
Okay.
And the reason that I do that is that I've had plenty of sellers be insulted by our cash offer.
Oh, okay.
And I want them.
You don't want that to be the first thing they see.
That's our own idea of trying to deal with sellers where we're not necessarily negotiating with them one-on-one in person. So this is typically done through email or over the phone. And
right.
So, yes, before we get to the cash, I want them to know that they have much higher offers.
Okay.
Okay. But in this case,
the logic there.
But in this case, we're going to work from the lowest up just because the first two are pretty straightforward and easy. We can crank them out very quickly.
Okay.
So if you remember the cash that they were asking, $330,000, we offered $313,200. Do you want to know how I came up with that number?
You guessed.
I did. I just took a number.
Yeah.
And, I wanted it to be close enough where he wouldn't discount it totally.
Yeah.
And I wanted it to still be in the range that he would consider it.
Yeah.
And I want him to be able to negotiate if he wants.
Exactly. So really, you knew what he wanted already, which was the $330,000. And so you're like, well, let's offer him less. That leaves ourselves some negotiating room. And if he really wants the $330,000 cash, then, you know, it's still a good deal with that.
That's right. Okay. So first one's easy, cash. Second one is... This is something we've talked about before, and I'll tell you what my thought process is when I come up with this, but this is short-term owner financing. Okay, so we know that this property, it needs some rehab. Is it possible, whether it's us as the buyer or someone that we wholesale it to, would be interested in this property more as, well, interested in one of two things. One as a rehab, where they actually go and do the rehab, put in the higher renters, and then sell it for market value. I mean, we're thinking market value is at least $500,000.
Yeah.
If they're into it for $410,000, I mean, that's a good flip, right?
Right.
So, or, you know, if you're a Bigger Pockets fan, it would be called the Burr strategy, where you actually buy it and you rehab it. Then you rent it, then you refinance it, and now you're able to pull out maybe all of your money, and because it's worth, you know, $500,000, maybe you're only into it for four.
Yeah.
You can refinance it 80% loan to value.
Yeah.
You've got all your money back out.
You've pulled your cash
out. Now you've got an infinite return on investment.
Exactly.
So this particular strategy is geared toward those people or us, which may be, hey, we'll just buy it. We think the value is considerably more as is. We may not do anything, and we would do what we would call a wholetail, which is literally maybe clean it up a little bit, do some very minor stuff, and put it on the MLS and sell it for whatever the market would bring for us.
Right.
Okay. So the way that I structured it is that, so remember, our cash offer is $313,200.
Okay.
The reason that I structured this is that I want it to just be, I need it to be more than our cash offer.
Right.
So it was $322,000. Okay, so still a little bit less than what he's asking, but
for the short term,
but again, close now that, you know, if he wanted to negotiate, we could.
Okay.
$25,000 down.
Okay.
Which the down payment really, unless you're buying it, is almost irrelevant in this, because if you can control a $400,000 home with $25,000 down for short term, way better than hard money.
Way better.
Yeah. So if it was $30,000, $35,000, $20,000, somewhere in that range, you're good.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I just picked a monthly payment. So what I did is I looked at what his rents are right now.
Uh-huh.
So let's just say for convenience sake, it's an average of $650.
Okay.
So he's bringing in $2,600. And we already figured out that our expenses, which would also be his expenses,
$650.
So he's bringing in, like, he's netting around $1,950.
Uh-huh.
But I can tell that this is becoming a burden to try to get work done and whatever. So, but I could just offer him $1,900 or $1,950 principal and interest.
Yeah.
I offered him $1,500.
Okay.
Principal only. So no interest.
Okay.
But this is going to be a short-term kind of deal. Typically, they're 6 months, but because it's a fourplex and we'd have to deal with four units, I asked for 9 months, always less than a year.
Okay.
Okay. So he'd get $2,500 down. He'd get that cash flow. And to be honest, I don't have many people negotiate a lot of the owner financing terms, but if he wanted to, I'd be happy to.
Yeah.
Wanted a little more money down, wanted a little higher payment, be fine.
Right.
At this rate, we even cash flow with what we got as is.
Yeah.
So can't really go wrong if you can cash flow. We're not even banking on the higher rents at this case.
Right.
We're still doing just fine.
Flow, yeah.
So there would be a balloon payment, which is very simple to figure out in this case. You take your $322, your purchase price, you minus your $25,000.
Uh-huh.
You then take your $1,500 a month payment times nine.
The principal pay down.
Well, that'll be the term. So we'll pay out, I think it's $13,500 if I'm not mistaken.
$1,500 times nine. Yeah, $13,500.
So, and then we minus that, and we come out to be $283,500 is what's due at the balloon payment.
Okay.
Okay? Very simple. And what the goal here would be, again, is we either buy it, we either come with the $25,000, and we, if we want to own it and keep it, we're going to fix it up, re-rent it, refinance it, pull all of our money back out or close to it.
Right.
Or we're going to wholesale it or wholetail it at this point. And so we have lots of different options available to us.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Now.
So that was option.
That's three. Option three for me.
But, okay.
All right. So this one is going to be like your easiest one to understand because it's straightforward. And we kind of talked about it last episode.
Okay.
So we'd played around with some of our numbers. So what we offered was $337,000 as a purchase price. Okay. So it's only $7,000 more than what he's asking, but it is like 24,000 more than our cash offer.
Okay.
Okay. So $337,000 with a $28,000 down payment, which leaves us with a balance of $309,000.
Right.
And we offered 4% interest, amortized over 30 years. That gives us a payment of like $1,475 a month.
Okay.
Okay. So if he takes this, wow, we have some great cash flow.
Great terms, 4%.
Yeah. So. But could we go higher?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we easily could.
On all of these offers.
Yeah. We have some room on this one.
Yeah.
So really what the goal here is, get your offers made. If he takes any one of these, We're jumping for joy, right?
Absolutely.
All we really want, I would love for him to just take one and say, yeah, I'll take option two,
yeah,
option three, whatever, anything. But if he doesn't, I just want him to engage in conversation. Like, all right, what is it that you still need? Because I don't know if I need to modify all parts of the offer.
Right.
I may need to modify a down payment. Or maybe he's like, I'm not good with 4% interest. Oh, would 5 make it work? I'd be happy to
pay that. Yeah.
Yeah. 5.25, 5.5.
6.
Yeah. And every time that a seller asks for something, I don't want to just give it to him. I want to get something back in return. So if the seller came back to me and said, well, I like the way that this is structured, but yeah, I really need more than that $1,475. And I'd say, okay, what are you thinking that you need? Well, I need $1,650 a month. Okay. So if I could make $1,650 work, let me ask you a question. Would you be willing to do it at a lower interest rate? Or would you be willing to go a little longer term if I can get you the monthly payment that you're looking for?
Man, that's awesome. That's such a good question.
Well,
So
I'm really trying to give them what they want, but give me something a little bit back.
Yeah.
And then they also feel like if I just say, yeah, sure, I'll give you $1,650, well, now they're not satisfied. Their negotiation satisfaction is not, they don't feel like, well, if he was just willing to give that to me, I should have gotten more.
Yeah.
So now they feel like every time that they're going to ask for something, they should get it. When I ask for something back, now they know that I'm setting the tone. Every time that you ask for something, you're going to have to give something. That's what I want to create. So this, by creating these offers, yes, I really hope that they just accept one. That's nice and easy and thrilling.
Yeah.
But if at least they engage in conversation, that's okay too, because all of a sudden we haven't, owner financing or terms or creative financing can work in a lot of different ways. Since
Absolutely.
We don't have these like face-to-face a lot conversations where we're like, so I assume you'll take no money as your down payment or something like that. We're guessing on a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, and then so, seeing what they like and what they don't like or what they need.
So now this is our opportunity to kind of gauge where we're at so we can kind of structure it for their needs. But, I mean, seriously, if someone asked me for another $200 a month but they're willing to give me another 5 years on the term or I'm willing to come off the interest rate by 1.5 or principal only payments or whatever, I'm happy to renegotiate some of the terms.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I like your approach though, where you're like, okay, well, if I'm willing to do that, are you willing to do this? So it's a give and take.
Correct.
So that they feel like they're getting a little something, but they have to give a little something up as well. Because you're absolutely right. If they just feel like, well, he just gave me that, maybe I should ask for more. They're not satisfied.
They're not satisfied.
Great point. Thank you for sharing that.
Cause sure.
That actually gets me excited because I'm like, hey, I need to start doing stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go through the rest. So I offered him 5-year term.
Okay.
The balloon payment is $279,482. So at the end of 5 years, that's what is still due and payable on this loan. We will pay the taxes and insurance. So that will be in addition to that $1,475. So if you go back, we estimated that to be about $450.
Yeah.
So that's like $1,925 in reality, what's coming in. But if you look at what they will net from this, if you add up, since it's free and clear, and $1,475 is truly what they're walking away with every month, there's no other expense with it. There's no vacancy, no maintenance, no repairs, nothing.
Absolutely.
So over the course of 5 years, they're actually netting. So all we do to figure that out is add 1475, multiply 1475 times 60 months.
Uh-huh.
Plus the balloon payment of 279,482.
Uh-huh.
Plus the down payment.
Okay.
Okay. Since there's no debt, this is what they would net. $395,982. What is this seller asking for right now?
$330,000.
$330,000.
Yeah. So at the end of 5 years, they could actually make $390,000 on it based on this offer.
$390,000, almost
$396,000.
Yep. So is this person, as a landlord with a fourplex, used to receiving income every month?
Yes.
Could there be some tax potential ramifications? I don't know how long the seller has owned the property, but could there be where, hey, it'd be better for him to divide his payments out over some time?
Probably.
So it's possible. This isn't really a hard sell. The only real issue would be is, hey, if he wants to do a 1031 exchange, take his equity and put it somewhere else so he has no tax consequence.
Right.
Which case, let's talk about the cash offer again.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So one more, and I'm not gonna go through what we actually offered. I will do something similar because I will only confuse you doing this where I can't actually write it out for people.
Okay.
So
what I would like to do, Jeff, if you're okay with it, if I could take the offers that you sent and put that in the show notes, would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
I think if people can go and look at the show notes, like, this will all just make sense for them.
Okay.
Right? And I think it'd be very helpful, because it'd be very helpful for me, even though you're right here in front of me with these offers, seeing those offers as you go over them, I think that'd be very helpful for people.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. So let's try to make this one simple. So let's say that we offered them $350,000 on this. So this is the highest price. Remember, they're asking $330,000.
Right.
Our cash offer is $313,000. There's a significant difference between the two.
Yep.
We offered only $18,000 down. So a really small down payment.
Okay.
To be honest, really what I'm trying to do with this offer is I'm trying to get their attention with the price. Okay. So let's say that we now owe $332,000 as a principal balance.
Right.
We are offering them $1,450 a month and no interest, principal only payments.
Okay.
Okay. So $1,450, and we're going to do it over the shortest time frame, at least shorter than the last one, I guess. We have one that's shorter, but 3 years.
Okay.
3 year term.
And the last one was a 5 year term.
Correct. So if you just take $1,450, which is the principal and interest, principal only payment, you times it by 36, that's $52,200. Okay? And if you take the $52,200 and you add the $18,000 to it, you have $70,200.
Okay.
Okay? So if you take our purchase price of $350, you minus the down payment, and you minus, hopefully it's now 5 years later, you minus all the principal pay down, 52,200. The balloon payment now is $279,800.
Okay.
Okay. So it's fairly short term. Did I figure that out right? I think I multiplied it by too much. 1450 times 36. No, that's right. $52,200. So the reason why a seller might be interested in this is that they're getting the best price.
Right.
They're also getting a short term.
Yeah,
short term. So they don't have to wait that long.
Yeah.
And so now in this case, they're not netting anymore. So remember on the second option, they made 300 and... What was it? 96,000
almost? Yeah.
Here, they're only netting 350 because there's no interest. It's not growing.
Right.
So, but, and could we give them more down payment? Easily.
Like, you can't go wrong on any of those offers.
No.
So, so can we, like, quickly recap just from option one down to option four?
Option one.
And then can you tell us also, what kind of interest instrument you were using for this?
Like, sure.
Like, trust and deed, or, I mean, a trust.
So remember, remember that the property is free and clear.
Okay.
And the only reason that I did this, so I did trust deed and note.
Okay.
So we're just literally exactly like a bank would do if you borrowed money. And the only reason I did that is in Idaho, we've had some issues with contract for deed. We just don't have a title company I trust to make sure it gets closed. So,
okay.
First option was highest price, $350,000 principal only payments, 3-year balloon.
Yep.
Netting $350,000
with $18,000 down.
With $18,000 down.
Okay. Option two.
Second one.
Yep.
This again, trust deed and note.
Okay.
Purchase price $337,000, down payment $28,000, interest rate 4%, amortized over 30 years.
Okay.
Payment of $1,475, principal and interest, 5-year balloon, nets almost $396,000 over the course of 5 years.
Okay.
Option three, $322,000 purchase price, $25,000 down. $1,500 principal only payments for 9 months.
Okay.
Short term.
Uh-huh.
And then option four is cash, $313,200, close in 30 days, as is.
I love that. Thank you for going over that, because that's kind of just a brief overview of all of those offers. And for me, Jeff, I've just been like sitting here excited the whole time, because like I see like how creative all of these offers are, like, and I see like there's endless possibilities here, right? And like it looks like once you figure out a couple numbers that we kind of ran on the last episode, like you could craft so many more offers based on that.
We could come up with a seller carry back. We could come up. Yeah, I would stay away from like a lease option or a master lease option on this, just because I have a rule, and the rule is very simple, is that you don't want to do work on a property you don't own.
Right.
And as a lease option, you don't own it.
Uh-huh.
So I think no matter what, you're going to do some renovation on this property, or someone is going to. So I think that you want to stay away from that.
Yeah.
We could have certainly come up with a seller carry back option where we got him more money up front. And structured a second trust deed and note. And you please don't think that you got to make four offers. Four offers may actually be a little overkill.
Yeah.
You may make two.
Yeah.
You may make a maximum of three.
Yeah.
Do it based on what it is that you're comfortable with. It doesn't, you don't necessarily have to have two, you know, a 3-year and a 5-year term. It might be a 5-year and a 10-year term and cash.
Right.
It might be interest only compared to a principal only payment.
Right.
So there's no, again, no right way or wrong way to how you want to structure these.
Yeah.
But come up with what works for you.
Yeah.
And with, if you're wholesaling with your buyers, and then make those type of offers.
Yeah, and see where it lands with the seller, because you're, again, like you said before, you're just trying to engage them in a conversation. So actually, the more options you have, you might open them up, you might get their attention more, or open them up to some other things where they may have not been open before. But no, I hope that you guys out there can see the potential here. Because for me, like seeing this, it's so helpful, because like you're looking at a fourplex, pretty common, and you just like seeing all of those offers structured out, like you just see the possibilities that you can do when you know a couple fundamentals in creative financing.
Yep.
So that's what gets me excited here. And I hope you guys, I hope that gets you excited too, because especially once we, you know, put these in the show notes and you guys can go back and look at them, because for me, seeing something in writing, seeing how it's structured, that's kind of how I'm like a visual learner, you know, so yep. I can, it kind of clicks better for me then. So that's why I want to do that. But yeah, I'm pumped about this stuff, because like all of those options, I mean, there's just such wealth generating strategies in using creative financing, right? Like yep. there's like, it just amplifies wealth generation through using creative financing.
This one's fairly easy just because it's free and clear, and that you know, there's so much room for improvement, you know, both value-wise and cash flow-wise.
Huge.
But what I would tell you is this, is that I would always go back and, you know, when we took what we thought it could rent for, we could also take what it is renting for, which is, let's say, $650, $2,600. You know, we have $1,950 after we take all of our expenses. That's what we now have to work with. And we're taking it more as an as-is approach rather than what could be approach.
Right.
Either way is fine. And yeah, if you remember, we probably could offer, even though my payments are in that 14-ish range,
uh-huh.
we could probably offer as much as $1,700, $1,800, $1,900 a month and still make the numbers work.
Right.
Sometimes it's not that big of a spread. Like you don't have, you know, if you're dealing with a $150,000 duplex, it brings in $800 a month, you know, something like that. There's not a lot of money to work with, but
yeah.
here we have it. So
yeah.
always do some homework and then try to work backwards, and things will become a lot more clear to you.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks, Jeff. I always learned so much from you. You know, running through these options or these offers. And these deals, because I see, you know, I'm kind of, I see it from your perspective, I guess. So I'm kind of feel like I'm in your head when you're making these offers. So, and then it, you know, stuff just starts clicking for me. And it like, just to imagine the possibilities, once you know this, is just, it's kind of mind blowing to me. So,
well,
thanks,
and it's all practice. It really is. Once you start understanding some of the different techniques and how things come together, and then it's just practice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
love it. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed that. Again, if you want to, please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast. We need as many subscriptions as we can get. Rate and review us. We want to continue to bring value to you guys, and we really want you guys to. If you guys are out there looking at, you know, a fourplex like this, or, you know, a duplex or a single family home or whatever, and you're like, hey, how can I structure some creative offers on this? Leave us a voicemail on our hotline, and I'm going to give you the hotline number here, but we're really looking for some feedback on that, or if there's some questions you guys have, please bring them to us. Let's get them on the show. Let me present them to Jeff so that we can help add value to you. That hotline number is 877-409-8090. Again, 877-409-8090. And you can reach us on the web at www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. Any last words, Jeff?
Go create some terms.
Go create some terms. Love it.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.